Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
This morning, I want to get a hold of something, and I want you to get a hold of it as well. And some of the songs, the lyrics of some of the songs, some of these songs were magnificent. I mean, they just have such power in them. And song, God has used music and song to minister to His people in so many ways, but. When I get into this a little bit, you'll see what I'm talking about. Some of the lyrics of the songs we sang is just exactly what I'm going to share with you today, because I want you to get a hold of something this morning that that I think you've probably know about if you've studied the Bible at all, even if you've read the Bible just casually. Not everybody is a theologian, and not everybody gets into Scripture for the, you know, the doctrinal thing and the systematic theology thing. Only nerds like myself do things like that, but we as just people living on the planet, wanting to know God and what He has in mind for us, sometimes have a difficult time. I mean, you can read the Word, and sometimes the Word doesn't impact you, and yet other times when God really wants to get a hold of you, you're reading the Word or you're listening to a gospel song, suddenly that just impacts your heart. You know what I mean? And so there's three things that I want you to get a hold of today, and I would call them spiritual laws. And the title I gave this message is going to be pretty much the focus of what I want to share with you this morning. But I want you to get a hold of this so much. It's kind of like the thing. Am I echoing? A little bit? Where's the, Jared, can you help me out there a little? My wife and I are doing this thing. We've been doing it for quite some time. And in fact, when you give us a prayer request, and we really feel the Lord moving on us, we do the, and I've been teaching it or harping on it here in the altar, praying for folks as they've come up for prayer. There's a principle that we have gotten a hold of. You know, if you've ever had a scripture you've read, it's been there, you've practiced it, but suddenly it just explodes. It becomes a living thing that you know God is doing something. My wife and I have been practicing this for some, I don't know how long, sometime. We always have prayed agreeing, in agreement, because that's scriptural. You know, if any two pray is touching any one thing in agreement, God will do it. And so a lot of times it's never done. And so I'm wondering, were we really in agreement when the prayer doesn't seem to be answered? Am I making sense? And so my wife and I have intentionally been praying for issues, and we have issues that arise in life. You have issues that you need help with, and you want God to intervene and help you with. And we have discovered that by, Lord, we're coming into agreement, we hold hands and we pray about it. We've prayed in the morning, just the other day, and by the time half the day, I wasn't even into half the morning, the prayer was answered. And that's just one example. And I could tell you the details of it, but it would bore you to death. But we've discovered, it's not like it's a new thing. It's a thing that we have discovered that when she and I just deliberately come in agreement, God has been answering prayer like crazy. It's just a wonderful thing. And I've preached about it, and I've encouraged you to do it. And I think it becomes one of the spiritual laws, not like the road to salvation, but I mean, I think there are laws that Jesus has that are not like the Big Ten. I think they're life laws or principles would probably be as good a term. And I want to share some of those principles with you this morning, and I don't want to take a whole long time with it, but I want you to get a hold of it, because I think this is where sometimes we have a little difficulty in our Christian walk, or we hesitate, or we don't get our prayers answered. And one of the scriptures I'm going to read for you this morning is going to address that directly. And I entitled this message, Light Breaking Forth as Morning. And you'll understand that better at the end of this message. But I want you to be turning to Matthew 18 and 35. And I want to talk about three laws that or principles that I want to mention to you this morning. And I want to mention them because I think they're significant, because they have visible results. When we get to Isaiah, there's some things, maybe I should have started with Isaiah, but when we get to Isaiah, I'll give you the context of it and you'll begin to understand. This will start gelling together perfectly for you. But how many of you times have you prayed and it just seemed like God did not answer? And what was your reaction to that? I'm guessing, but my reaction when it's happened to me is, God, where are you? Are you not seeing what I'm seeing? Are you not? Do you not care about what I'm caring about? And yet over time, somehow, God settles that, whether he answers the prayer the way I wanted him to or whatever. And it may be still even going on, question marks in your mind. And it has even affected your faith if you dwell on it too much. Well, if God didn't answer this prayer, but we oftentimes forget the initial prayer we prayed. God, save me. And he saved me. And like I said a moment ago in communion, if he does nothing else, I've got eternal life with God forever with the Lord. It wouldn't make any difference if he didn't do another thing. But he does do other things continually in our lives. Many things that we don't always even know that he's doing, but suddenly at some point down the life, we have this epiphany where we realize, man, look what God did. I didn't realize he was doing. There it is. Answering my prayer. Some prayers that we pray are unrealistic, and some prayers that we pray are long-distance prayers, because to get God to do, or for God to accomplish these things, is that he has a lot of detail work involved in there, and because he does not coerce people, and he does not pressure people, and he does not push people, it takes time for him to convince people, you know? And if he's dealing with my family, they're pretty stubborn and bullheaded, so he's got to go a long time working on my family. But the marvelous thing is that he has not hesitated or ceased to work in your life. So the first principle and I'm not going to read the whole scripture, I'm just going to tell you where it's 18 and 35, so you can just go there, Matthew 18, 35, and I'll read that one scripture, but I'll give you the context here in a second. But I think the first law or principle I want to talk about is the law of forgiveness. You can see these three laws that I'm going to share with you, and I used agreement as an example, where you can see some absolute definite results of your action. I prayed in agreement with my wife, and God answered the prayer. Have you ever had that happen? So then you know I'm not just preaching to a choir, but there are people who've actually experienced this. And so if we really want the kind of supreme walk with Jesus Christ, a couple things you need to keep in the back of your mind as I share these laws with you. One of them is, God the Father answers a lot of prayer on the basis of how you treat his son. Do you love Jesus? Are you grateful? Do you call upon him? Do you magnify him? Do you worship him? Do you give honor to him? Are all of those things a part of your walk with Christ? God blesses those who bless his son. Amen? And so when we talk about these kinds of principles, keep in the back of your mind, what motivates God to respond to our prayer? What motivates God to respond to our actions that I'm going to tell you about? What causes God to respond to that is the fact that he loves his son. And through his son, he loves you. On the basis of your relationship, he establishes a greater outpouring of his love and visible and experienceable to each individual who seeks that or wants to know more or have more of God's love in his life. All you've got to do is love Jesus with all your heart, and God will pour it into your life. But the law of forgiveness is the one that I want to begin with this morning, because I think this is probably the most difficult. I think we want God to just do awesome things in us. We want to walk in a way where we can never feel guilty about how we live or things that we think and the things that we do, even though life brings those things upon us. We oftentimes struggle with them because the minute you think you've failed God, your guilt begins to set in. Am I correct? And then the Holy Spirit tries to deal with you and you feel worse. Am I right? And so then you got to go through that process of getting that all worked out with God. And sometimes that's a difficult process. But most of the time, the end product is just a wonderful experience where God renews and refreshes your experience with him. And that's a good thing. But here's the thing about the law of forgiveness. And let me give the scripture context so you can understand what it's all about. Because the law of forgiveness is probably the supreme law. Because we have been forgiven, we are required to forgive. You still with me? Hey, we like the forgiveness part, but we don't always like the requirement that comes along with it and the responsibility that comes along with it. And so in the 35th verse of chapter 18, Matthew, it says this, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." And what that is the story is this, his disciples come to him and I don't know about you, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm assuming something that may not be real. Have you, anybody here been offended? Has anyone here been offended by somebody in church? Because really, that's more relevant, isn't it? You're always going to be offended out there. People are all, on the job site, whatever, People offend me when they pull in front of me, and I'm doing 50, they're 2 and 20. That's one of my big pet peeves, So I get offended there. So I'm always going to be offended out there. But in the house of God, there should be no offense. And I'll tell you why. Because God loves us. And Jesus died for us. Therefore, we are required to love one another. Hello? And so the first law and the most important law is the law of forgiveness. This story, his disciples come to him and ask him, how many times have I got to forgive this guy? I mean, this guy's offended me three or four times. How? I've been very gracious. I've forgiven him three times. You read the story for yourself. I'm paraphrasing it. But the whole context of it is Jesus gets down to the thing. Hey, there's this wicked servant. His master decides, hey, I'm going to get an accounting of all of my goods and money and all this. So I'm bringing my servants in to give accountability. And this guy owes the master so much dough. And it's an enormous amount. And so the master says, I forgive you of the debt. Has anybody ever been forgiven of a debt? Now, just go ahead and say it out loud. Yeah, that was awesome. Amen. That felt really good when somebody just forgives the debt. Now, that's magnanimous on the part of the guy forgiving the debt, but it is also mighty good in the heart for the person who receives it on whatever basis. But isn't there just an automatic gratitude there, or am I wrong? If you have the right spirit, you have gratitude, you have thanksgiving, you have appreciation for the forgiveness of that debt. Well, then the servant goes and he starts making accounting of all the guys that owe him dough. And so he said, give me my money. And the guy said, give me some time. Show me some mercy and give me some time and I'll get it for you. He says, no. And throws him into debtor's prison. Now, this is what Jesus Christ is talking about in this verse. If you as a Christian respond as this wicked servant responded, God is going to likewise respond. Now, I'm telling you something. This is as real as a heart attack. This is real. If you don't show forgiveness and love and kindness to your fellow Christian, God is going to show you the same attitude you had toward them. Golden rule. It boils down to the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But it's bigger. It's greater. It has greater consequences. Because it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian. If you offend somebody after somebody has forgiven you and you don't show that same forgiveness, God is not going to show forgiveness to you. Hello? I mean, it's more serious in the New Testament than it is in the Old Testament. Because we're talking about eternity, not just when the Messiah comes. We're talking about eternity. Where are we going to spend eternity? Where's my soul and spirit going to spend eternity? In my brand new body. And a brand new body. That's a phrase in a song a choir sang at Bible college. It's the only thing I remember out of it. I got a brand new body. And I can't go that high. I lost my high voice when I was about 16, 17 or whatever. Anyway, but I could get up there then, I'll tell you what. But anyhow, the whole point is that this scripture is talking about, listen, someone showed you forgiveness. Jesus showed us forgiveness. Therefore, we are required to show forgiveness to others. And if we're talking about the body of Christ, which is his church, that's how we should relate to one another. Love motivated Jesus to do this on the cross. and to give you forgiveness. Love must motivate us to show forgiveness to others. Not easy. Not the first thing that comes to my mind when I've been offended. Amen? Not the first thing that I want to do. My first reaction, everybody knows, I've not hidden my reaction. Many times my reaction is I just grab them by the throat or the head and squash it like a grape. That's my attitude. But fortunately for them and me, the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ reminds me. And so this becomes a principle. I've not always been successful at it, as you know. I'm trying to be as transparent as I can, but I try to live by this principle because there are direct consequences or results or blessings that come from my conduct and my willingness to forgive. I'm not always easy. I mean, I try to forgive, but it takes sometimes time. Amen? Now, when God says forgive, he doesn't say instantly, does he? No. Because sometimes it's going to take you a while to work through that. Am I correct? And because I think forgiveness is a deliberate choice in your heart. I choose to forgive that person. I don't feel like forgiving them. Are you still with me? You're getting awful quiet here. You better say something because I'm about to go to sleep. And so you have all these emotions and all of this that works with this, but eventually, you get to that place where you set it aside, give it into the hands of the Lord or whatever, and you work your way through it and you make that choice to forgive them. And I want to tell you something. Based on this scripture, there are blessings that are coming because the converse of this is also true. If you don't forgive, God's going to respond. But if you do forgive, God is also going to respond in a wonderful and blessed way. And so, why is this the most important law? Because this is the one that has such a direct root to our heart and the basis upon which we have a relationship with God. If I can't be God-like as God has been to me, then I'm going to have a very, very difficult time in this Christian walk. I'm going to have a real tough time because I'm going to want to just go ahead and respond my normal way. And that is not pleasant. It's not pretty. And so I'm so grateful for this first law, and it's a wonderful law because it teaches me to discipline myself. And discipline means not that you instantly know the knowledge, but you not instantly respond to the knowledge you may have. So you choose to follow that by discipline. I discipline myself to react this way, to respond with forgiveness rather than what I would like to do. Amen? And it teaches me self-control, which is the big thing God works on me about. Anybody else in this one? I have a real tough time with self-control. And so God has helped me over the years in a lot of ways. My wife has not have to give me a left hook as often. She still does now and then, but I work on that self-control. And God has really done a marvelous work in my life. Can you see? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's only because there's less bumps on my face. Amen. And so one of the keys to being a forgiving person or fulfilling the law of forgiveness is that you must learn to show deference to your brother. That's an interesting word. I learned it quite a long time ago, but I never really experienced it until I got into a difficulty in a church one time. I was not the pastor. I was just attending and teaching classes and stuff like that. And the pastor and I had a disagreement on a certain issue, and I had a choice. I could defend myself, go to him, and tell him, "Hey, I feel like you offended me here." And eventually, we did do that. We eventually had that great conversation. In fact, you've known that pastor. He's been here. Well, he's passed away now, but he's been here many times to preach for us, and one of the greatest men of God I've ever known. But we had that difficulty, and eventually we worked it out. But up until then, I had to reason within my heart. Am I going to forgive this situation? Am I going to forgive this offense? Because I really definitely feel like I've been offended, and I don't want to be have an offense between the pastor and I. I don't think it was necessarily intentional, and if it was, I still have to forgive him. And so I had a choice. Do I pack up my bags and leave the church? Go somewhere else because this guy's offended me? I had that very choice. And we had discussions, and that was a very real choice because I was not the pastor. I was just one of the Sunday school teachers there, and so I had a choice. Do I just slip quietly into the night and just not go back? And my wife and I chose no. We're going to stay, stay, and I'm going to be the best supporting member he's got in his church. And I did become that in my heart. I felt like I was, man, no matter what, if there was a disagreement there, I would go talk with him, and we would work it out, whatever it was. But I supported him and everything. I taught the adult Sunday school class, and I had a whole large class there that I could have influenced. I could have dropped little hints. I'm kind of worried about Pastor Bishop. I think he's getting a little elderly. He's got a little Alzheimer's coming in, and you know, he's not, and I could have subtly done like Absalom. You remember Absalom? Went to the city gate, starts talking to all the elders as they came in to do business during the day, and built up a clientele or following, and overthrew his father, the king. And the end result of that, of course, he hung his hair in the tree and he was killed. But the point that I'm getting at, if I wanted to be an Absalom, I had the perfect forum for it. I had all the adults in the church coming to the Sunday school, or a large amount of them coming to the Sunday school class, and I could have just subtly undermined his ministry real easy. But I chose to be the best follower, minister, best membership person that he had. And I don't know that you make that comparison, but in my heart I felt like I was very loyal to Pastor Bishop. And you know what happened out of that? It built a deep, loving relationship between he and I. And my admiration and honor for him, it is sky high. And that doesn't mean anything to anybody, because that's just me and my personal experience in being offended and having to forgive, making a choice to forgive, or to just let that simmer in my heart and always have bad things to say about the pastor. Amen? And so I decided I'm going to follow the law of forgiveness. And I learned that long before that from another pastor who taught me when I was first a Christian. I'd learned that, but I realized, listen, I can cut and run, and I'm going to face this same issue down the road somewhere else. Or I'm going to let Jesus help me deal with this and get victory here, and let the law of love, I mean the law of forgiveness, be also a law of love. And personally, for my own personal Christian walk, it was one of the most important moments in my life that I decided I'm going to forgive somebody who's offended me. And I've done it many, many times, because a lot of people offend me. Some of you, some of you, the way you comb your hairs, you kind of offend me, you know. I just thought I'd mention that. You know, those Hawaiian shirts you wear, they're very offensive, you know. Anyway, so the law of forgiveness is the supreme law, I believe, because I think it is the key for all things. And then the second one I want you to turn to is in 2 Peter. And I want to quickly move this, because I don't want to be as long-winded as I was last week, okay? So in 1 Peter, did I say 2 Peter? 1 Peter 2 and 23. An interesting verse. And I think is a principle or a law of grace, a law of God. Are you still with me? And this is what he says in 1 Peter 2:23. Who, talking about Jesus Christ, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him, the Father, that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto what? Righteousness. You should live right, by whose stripes you were healed. That's a good scripture for praying for the sick. But really, the 23rd verse is the important one, because I call that the law of the Lamb. The law of the Lamb. The Lamb was silent when he went to be sacrificed. When they cursed him, when they plucked his beard, when they hit him on his back with stripes on his back, when they made him drag his own cross till he couldn't do it and had to enlist someone else to carry it to the top of Calvary, and then was nailed to that tree, he reviled not again. All the way up there, he was reviled. He was reviled by the religious leaders. He was reviled by the Romans, who actually executed him on behalf of the Jews. And he was rejected by his own people. And all those things were happening. And I don't know about you, but if somebody smacks me in the face, I'm a reviler. Anybody else a reviler here? I just want you to know the law of the Lamb is to not only forgive, but to not revile back. not to strike back, not to act in vengeance or any way back. And now, that don't sound like a real fun thing to even know about, but it is actually something that develops a very awesome thing in your life. As the law of forgiveness begins to help you understand how Jesus views other people, and especially his own people, then you should also understand God is going to bless you by how you relate to his son, how you love his son. God is going to bless you. He's also going to bless you on how you relate to his people. The law of the Lamb is that we get along. We don't revile one another. We don't strike out because somebody gets mad at me for something. I don't strike out, or if I make you mad, don't strike me, please. I don't revile. And that doesn't necessarily mean physical, but it does mean a rejection or, you know, vocal or whatever. But the whole idea and the whole concept is there's a law in the working of God in our personal walk that if we walk like Jesus, and when people offend us and when they hurt us and they do things that really shake our personal confidence in people, we must be like the Lamb. That isn't very exciting. That's not exciting at all. In fact, these two laws that I'm mentioning to you right now are tough, and I think they deserve to be tough because we need to be tough as Christians. If we're going to live in a world that rejects Jesus Christ, well, at least amongst ourselves, we should live in a way where we all accept Christ and he accepts us and we accept each other. Amen? I think we should be building one another up, not reviling each other, not threatening each other. We think need to, whatever happens in our relationship, we need to give that to the Lord. And that's where the first law comes in also. But the law of the Lamb is that we don't strike back those who strike us. Amen? We don't fight back to those who fight us. And the act that we need to learn about, boy, I'm stumbling here today, is to release it to the Lord. That is an act of the will, where I choose to take this situation where I'd really like to knock this guy's block off, I take this situation and I release it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know I'm saying the things that you have all thought these things. Don't look so saint-like to me. I see you holding your hands and you look so pious. The truth of the matter, every one of you have liked to punch out your neighbor at some point in your life. Am I correct? And so how do we show forth Christ in our lives for our own sake, just for our own sake? Then we must be forgiving and we must be loving and we must not strike out at other people who struck out at us. And so that's the way we fulfill the law of the Lamb. And so that requires us to make a decision at some point. My problem is I make the decision after the point. Amen. If I was really smart, when I saw these things happening, I would say, I would just become real lamb-like and I would be very forgiving and I'd understand this person doesn't understand. But the truth of the matter is, I get riled up. And I find myself in the midst of a problem because I'm reacting after the fact. I should have been thinking about this prior, because the consequences would have been much better. And I know that this is a kind of thing that has to be experienced much more than me preaching it at you, but you've all experienced some of the things I'm talking about. And so therefore, when we follow the law of the Lamb and not strike back, we have conquered already the whole situation. And we've shown forth Christ. Now, I know all of you are not, evangelists. You share your faith when the opportunities, I'm sure, arise, but you don't consider yourself an evangelist going around preaching the gospel, but you preach the gospel every day and you probably don't even realize it. How you live out Christ in your life is a message to whoever reads your life. And believe me, people are reading your life all the time. Oh, yeah, he's a Christian. I heard about that guy. You know what he did? Let me tell you. And then you've got to sit there and not revile back, amen? And what happens? Sounds real simple, but the truth of the matter, if we respond naturally, we want to do like Pastor Connor wants to do. But if we have the Holy Spirit helping us, if we've learned to discipline ourselves so that we don't react, but that we give Christ time to work on our hearts, what we discover is God begins to do things in us. He does things in us because we do things for him. Am I making any sense? So if we do for Christ, Christ does for us. I've been in dark moments. Anybody been in dark times? And you, when I say that, you begin to probably immediately think about the dark times you've been in. And I've been in those dark times, and my reactions don't help me. And my pondering and thinking and worrying and fretting and having anxiety over things do not help me. So what helps me? What helps me is if I conduct myself as Christ wants me to conduct myself, I begin then to reap the benefits of God's blessing for conducting myself as Christ wants me to conduct myself. There are benefits and literal blessings that God pours into your life. Not that you just do it for the blessings, but He pours blessings into your life when you represent Him well. And somehow, when you don't represent Him well, He is able to turn that bad representation into something good if you just react by asking Him to forgive you. The law of forgiveness works both ways. Amen? So there's good stuff happening here that in these two laws that I think are life laws that I've tried to practice personally and not been perfect. Nobody's perfect at any of this stuff. Do you know that? Nobody's perfect. Only Jesus walked on the water. Peter tried, didn't make it. Few steps, but down he went. Jesus walked on water. And He's the only one that's done this perfectly. And therefore, He sends the Spirit to help us do this right. And so the process of these laws is not something that you just get stoned for if you don't do it right. You get graced. God's grace comes upon you to help you walk it right. And that's not that you just give up and don't have a will. You have a will. You have choice. That's what I'm telling you. By making the right choices in following Christ, by demonstrating His attitude and His love in your life and disciplining yourself that way, you will discover that blessings and support and strength and other things come into your life. I don't know about you, but there are times when I'm weak and I really need something dynamic to happen in my life. And I really need the Holy Spirit to explode now and then in my life. Turn over to Isaiah 58. I want you to hear this because this is pretty good. And don't tell me you've never been here either. Okay? Don't tell me that. Because I know you have. And this is why I know it doesn't sound like it, but I want to talk about your light breaking forth like the morning. I don't know about you, but does anybody ever get up before daylight? I know some of you got to move water and get the cows wherever they go and get the apples herded up wherever they belong. I don't know what, I'm not a farmer, so I don't know all that stuff. I've been around it a lot, but I know nothing. So one of the things that I've noticed, it's always kind of a grayish kind of thing. I don't know how to describe it, just before the sun kicks up. And it seems like you're in that kind of haze, and then all of a sudden the sun peaks up and the radiance comes out, and it's almost like a sudden thing, but you know it's coming. You can stand there and watch it, and yet it still seems sudden. It seems like the light just bursts across there. And this may not be the best description, but I think it's what we're talking about. When I'm successful in my walk with Christ, when I don't punch somebody's lights out when I want to, don't run over them when I could easily do so. You know what I'm saying? When those moments come and I don't do those things, I'm successful. And I may have had bad feelings at the same time, but God helps me with those feelings and I go through those two laws and it works itself out. And then suddenly something breaks forth in me. Maybe not you, but for me, because it happens more rarely, but every once in a while the light breaks through for me. Something happens and there's a great blessing. That's a divine moment. I'm experiencing something. I did it right. And there's a breaking forth of light, you know, because I didn't run over that guy. And so what I'm trying to get across to you is some of the songs that we've sung this morning just talk directly to what I want to share with you, because the law of others is the third law I want to talk about. And this one holds probably some of the most direct blessings if you've disciplined yourself in this area. I want to read this scripture for you, and I don't even know where to begin, but let me begin in the fourth verse and lead up to the eighth verse. And I don't want to spend a whole time reading a lot of scripture because I want to bring this to a close, but listen to what it says. And what he's talking about is, what is the proper way? and this is what religious people do, and that's why I don't like to be called religious, because I'm not. I'm very much I have a relationship with God. But religious people who follow form and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying people who follow by form and ceremony and so forth. And one of the things, the part of the ceremony, we had one this morning that we observed. The other one was that they would fast. Has anybody ever fasted? You know what that, you know, your doctor tell you, wants to check your blood, fast. Don't eat anything after such and such. Fast, don't eat nothing. Well, fasting was a religious practice. We would not eat from sundown to, or sun up to sundown on certain days, and it was part of the holidays and all that kind of stuff. And so what was happening was these people were observing a fast. They were doing what they were supposed to, what the letter said to do. But in their hearts, they hated every moment of it. And so their fast was ruined. The religious activity was completely ruined because the attitude they had in their heart was not in tune with what God wanted. God wanted us to do this act because he loved us. We love God and God loves us. And by the way, we're the only ones that God does love. That went right over everybody's head. I could just see it skipping across the pond as it went across there. You see, the Jews believed they were the children of God and nobody else was. And it wasn't until Jesus saved us and brought us into the family that we were grafted in. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's the whole idea. But they felt that way, that God loves us. We're the only children of God. And it doesn't matter what we do. We're observing, and that's all we got to do. Well, if all I had to do was eat a piece of bread and drink a little bit of grape juice and get to heaven, I'd drink a gallon of it, eat a whole loaf of bread. You know what I'm saying? But that's not what it was about. Because the spiritual act that they were doing, the fasting, denying themselves was the idea. I'm denying myself food in honor of God. I'm denying myself so that God can have his way in my heart. I'm not eating today because I want God to speak to my life. That's what fasting was all about. And so what was happening was people would do that, but they didn't care about God or the church or nothing. They didn't care about each other. In fact, let me read the scripture, and you'll kind of get the drift of what I'm talking about, and then I'll give you a few more notes, and then I'll close. It says, behold, you fast for, this is the reason, here's their attitude, you fast for strife and debate. How many of you have been in a debate or had strife with other religious people of different denominations or whatever, and you get all riled up because of what you believe, and they get all riled up because of what they believe, and next thing you know, you're in a battle, and we never go to that church, and they never come to our church, and so we have a community choir. Well, those people are in the choir. I'm not going to the choir. I'm not going to be a part of it. You see how it goes? So I'm going to fast, all right, but I'm not going to do it because I love to, because those people are there fasting too. I don't care about those people. But you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. In other words, God, you do it, but I'm not going to hear you. From God saying, I'm not going to hear you. So there'll be no benefit for what you did. So you starve yourself to death all day, but I'm not going to pay any attention because your heart is wrong. Verse 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is this what God's idea of fasting is? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? These are the acts that the people did. Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day unto the Lord? Not just because of the action, but with the heart. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? I think that's songs we sang today. Am I wrong? That's the purpose of our religious activity, is to set men and women free, that they might know the love of God, and that they might know the liberty of God, and the blessings of God, and how he wants to walk with us, and fellowship with us, and keep us on the right track, and as we honor him, he honors us and blesses us. That's the code, that's the key. And to break every yoke, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When thou seest the naked, and thou art that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, in other words, your family members. Listen to this. If you follow the law of forgiveness, and you follow the law of love, you have the right attitude. And if you have the right attitude, you will be doing these things. Not just the fasting part, but you'll be setting people free. You'll be breaking the yokes of bondage. You'll be setting at liberty those that have been oppressed, those that have had burdens that they don't know how to get rid of. And you come alongside and you share your answer of how you got out from under that burden. And that's how you set someone else free. When you represent Christ, you are setting the captives free. Because they see hope where there is no hope. Folks, this nation needs hope. I see no hope without God's interjection of His blessing into our lives. And so what's the purpose of all of our religious activity? What's the purpose of all of us gathering here? It's to live right before our God, to honor our God, and to reflect Him. How can you reflect Him if you don't have light? That's what he's talking about. If you're doing these things, your light. He's telling you that your light, the light that he has put in you, will break forth like the sunrise, like the morning. It'll be a sudden thing. You'll be living this way, and it'll sometimes seem to be a struggle. You'll be living this way, and you'll wonder where God is. He doesn't answer. I do my fasting and my praying, and God doesn't seem to even hear me. Does he? In fact, that was the cry. We do these things, and don't you hear us? Don't you see? And then suddenly, because you've been faithful, because you've been consistent, because you've been disciplined and determined to live for Christ, you have reflected His light, not your light. His light will break forth in and through you. And it will be a morning in your life. There'll be light in your life. In fact, if you keep reading, I got to quit. If you keep reading, you'll discover that He says, in your darkness will burst light. So your heaviness, and the times when you're going through personal difficulty, you've treated other men right, you've treated your God right, you've served Him the best you can, His light is in you. Suddenly, in your moments of darkness, God bursts forth in light. The answer comes, the morning comes, and the night is dispelled. And the yokes are broken. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's stand, shall we? God is good, isn't He? Praise the Lord. Gosh, God is good. God is good. So the proper fast, the proper conduct is not the things that you do, although those are very representative and very important. I'm not diminishing any of that, but it's what's here. It's what's motivating. It's what's driving you. It's what passion and compassion you have. Jesus Christ with the light. And I think of the moon, you know. The moon doesn't even have its own light, but it's bright in the sky. I think that's like us. I think the sun, the light of the sun shines on us, S-O-N, shines on us, reflects out. And suddenly, all that was in darkness is in the light and set free. Do we serve a great God? Absolutely. Do we serve a God that's merciful? Absolutely. When I find myself in darkness, when I've failed Him, when I've sinned, He does not condemn me. Why? He wants to break the yoke that binds you. He wants you to be free. He wants you to serve in the light. He doesn't want you to be bound or oppressed. These are things of the enemy of your soul. God speaks peace and blessing into our lives. Three laws. The law of forgiveness, the law of the Lamb, and the law of others. Basically says, if I do for others, God will do for me. I say, let's spread the light, man. Let's just shine the light. Do what's right. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we love you this morning. Love, laws don't sound good. Principles sounds better. Laws seem to be so restrictive, but this is really liberty. It's not restriction. I choose to serve my God. I choose to live like God wants me to. And the benefits and the blessings are enormous. My life takes on light, and it breaks forth in the morning. Amen? Father, I bless you this morning. I glorify you. I thank you for your people. And I'm praying right now that you would just burst forth in light through them. Let them be a radiance in this land that has no hope. Let them see their great joy and their peace and their liberty and want what they have. Let everyone in this church be the light that draws men to Calvary and draws men to Jesus Christ. We bless you this morning. Thank you for all you've done in us, even this morning. And we give you praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.